Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
I don't have like an opening. Vibe check.
Vibe check. I thought you did.
No, I don't have an
opening.
The problem
is that if you open this show every time, you're always going to have pressure to have an opening. You never let me open the show anymore, so it's not like I can even prepare.
You haven't opened the show in years.
I know. Well, like, yeah, and so it's been your responsibility every time to have an opening, and I don't
need
one.
The reason you did it, you gave it because you said I was better at doing the sort of like structured.
That's not a lie.
Like reading thing. I didn't demand this.
But
and
you're
now it's
clearly
just,
not good at finding an opening because I don't hear anything.
Sometimes there is one and sometimes there isn't. I think we shouldn't feel pressure to have an opening if there isn't an opening.
I think you should feel pressure to find an opening.
Okay, should I do it over again?
Is it a show?
No. Should I say?
No.
Hold on.
Do you have something?
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a clip from the new Dua Lipa song, Break My Heart. I would have stayed at home, cause I was doing better alone. But when you said hello, I knew there was the end of it all. I should have stayed at home, cause now there ain't no letting you go. Am I falling in love with the one that could break my heart?
That's a good song for the time.
Yeah, I mean, the only lyric that I've heard is I should have stayed at home, and that's true.
Yeah, in retrospect, you should have stayed at home.
So there's, thank you for nudging me to actually have an opening topic, because that
You're
can
welcome.
Bring us to an opening topic, which is that Dua Lipa is releasing her album early. Lady Gaga is postponing her album indefinitely. So it's like, where's Chromatica? Meanwhile, our Chromatica merch is still scheduled to be delivered in April.
Well, that's what I said. As long as I get my Chromatica t-shirt, I don't care really about the Chromatica album. I am sad. Obviously, it's delayed, but I understand it. She probably had a huge rollout plan. I mean, you know, she's coming back from an album that didn't really have an amazing rollout situation because of various reasons. I mean, Joanne is one of the best, but like, think about it, right? And so they need this album to be big, 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 big. And so they can't risk it.
I know that they need it to be big, 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 big. And I know we've already had this conversation over text with Stephen. Hello, Stephen. I know you're listening. But I still think that because this is so unprecedented, this has never happened before. I think, like, why not use this as a moment to do something creative and risky and cool? And if anyone's going to do that, it's going to be Lady Gaga. And I don't understand. And if
Lady
Gaga,
inside, you think she's revolutionary, but she's still connected to the label. The label system is as
old. So is Dua Lipa.
Yeah, and I'm saying Dua Lipa's album is out because it leaked in full, basically. She had no choice. That thing leaked fully. Mm. And she was crying on Instagram like, oh, my album leaked, because you know these artists don't want to put their albums out in full right now because they want to use them to go on tour because that's where the money is and that's how they're going to pay back their like indentured servitude that they owe to their record label or whatever.
I understand that mentality and I get that. But what I don't understand is why just because you release an album now and you can't go on tour for 3 months, why does that stop people from going on tour later? If anything, sure, being in quarantine, listening to Lady Gaga Chromatica exclusively for 3 months because I can't leave the house is going to make me more likely to buy tickets to her tour in 6 months because I'll be like, oh my God, I need to get out of here.
This is the plan for like a smaller artist to like take a risk, right? Like we were talking about this with the movies too. Like you need your mid-tier and your indies to like take these risks. The box office ones, the big box office whatever, the Mulans, the No Time to Dies, those are going to be the ones that are like, we don't have we can't take this risk, we have to push back, we don't even know what we're doing. That's Lady Gaga in this situation, though.
I still feel like that's an unfair comparison because the tour is happening regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, the tour is going to happen regardless after the quarantine, so it's not like that moneymaker isn't going to exist. And my argument is that releasing the album early could improve demand for the tour later because you will have these like weird associations with the music that you want to sort of get rid of. I don't know. I feel like there's a way to do this.
I mean, I just don't agree with you. I think that they don't know what a tour looks like or is going to be like or what's going to happen. There's too many unknowns. Like, they just we don't know. They don't know anything about that and how to even get back to that. So to say like, oh, it'll happen in 3 months, like ideally, but there's just no way that they could take like financial risks on that for something so big. And like, I understand that even though you get an amazing PR bump, let's say, if that's what like, let's say an amazing, like, you'd feel good, better about the album.
I think that's a huge benefit to them.
I think for somebody like, let's say, Taylor Swift or an artist that maybe isn't real well regarded, put out an EP right now, put out something small.
I think someone
put out
is going
special.
To.
Yeah, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like there is an opportunity for someone A-listy to do this. And the fact that Gaga's not doing it, I think she's going to regret it, because someone like a Beyonce, someone like a Taylor Swift is going to release, like you said, a five song EP.
Yes.
And it's going to get the headlines everyone wants right now, which is like,
right,
Gaga, like Beyonce surprise dropped this thing, and it's exactly what the world needed. So it's like the fact that these people aren't pouncing on that opportunity, I think, is very strange.
But I think that's not for an album that's in the making. I think that's for like something that you're working on right now because you have a home studio and you're like, let's just like make some music and put it out streaming like in the next 2 weeks or something. That
like
I think
Rihanna,
is,
like
totally
Rihanna's
doable.
Album that Rihanna's question mark of an album is going to come out during quarantine. Let's just predict it now.
It's not,
especially Rihanna, because Rihanna is making so much money elsewhere that this doesn't matter.
She just gave like $5 million somewhere. It's so funny. I've never been more aware of like celebrity giving as I have right now. I'm like, in my mind, I know exactly who's given what to what, brain.
I love, okay, here's a question. This is not a call. This is a question. Okay, you know that yesterday, 2 days ago, Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell made the headlines because they were like, they're
like
suspending rent for their tenants.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, they have tenants? And then it's sort of like, okay, you can't instantly demonize someone because they have tenants because like maybe they're good landlords.
Right.
That's not the point. But do you think that they leaked the news to make themselves look good?
Yes.
Yeah, right? They had to have, right?
For news
that's
that,
what I thought.
Yes. I think, honestly, I think anytime a celebrity does a giving, if they're a specific type of celebrity, their PR person is gonna, you know, let somebody know, or the charity itself will let somebody know to give PR to the foundation itself to say like, hey, so and so gave us money, give us money too, or whatever. I mean, you're always gonna get that. I mean,
what do you think their weirdo like LLC is like when you have to write a check to Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell? Like, what do you? It's like, what is their dumb company
it's
holding
like some
company?
Silly like joke or something, like some silly little joke. I mean, what's your? You have a we have the same one.
We have the same LLC.
But like,
Lindsay?
You know how a lot of people will like name their LLC like funny things and then regret them because it's not like a vanity plate. You can't really change it up, you know, and then
you're
stuck
to your
with
accountant
it.
And it's like, yeah, it's Poopy Pants. It's Poopy Pants LLC.
Yeah, I thought it was funny at the time. And now I have to write it down on every piece of paper I sign on every W-9.
Like Hollywood Lovers LLC, me writing my rent to Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. It's probably
Hollywood
really gross.
Lovers.
It's probably gross. Lovers. But it's spelled weird. Ugh.
Okay, can we actually get a call in this town?
You are listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We're going to start with comments. There are a lot of them. There's a lot of name blindness calls. Let's just start right at the beginning.
I just got name blindness from Giancarlo Esposito and Cameron Esposito.
Hi, I have celebrity blindness, name blindness with Brooklyn Decker and Brooklyn Beckham. Yeah, stay safe. Love you.
Ellen Burstyn and Ellen Arkin? What's her last name? Ellen Burstyn and Ellen... I don't know the difference between these two people. Crunch, crunch, bye.
Ellen Burstyn.
Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Burstyn is the older one who's in Requiem for a Dream who gets...
She's kind of a classic kooky character.
Ellen Barkin is...
No idea.
Like the kind of femme fatale from the 80s, 90s. And then she was sort of like disappeared and then she came back and now she's in that show Animal Kingdom and she's a big tweeter. She's always like, Trump, goddamn you. Like, you know,
wait,
like
I
she's
thought
very
these
like
were the same woman.
What?
Are you sure
no.
they're not the same woman?
They're not the same woman. Ellen Barkin is 80s, 90s, femme fatale, sexy blonde in Hollywood.
Whoa, how are these not the same woman? Okay, I know what Ellen Burstyn looks like, but I thought she had Ellen Barkin's personality.
Ellen Burstyn famously played, Blake Lively's daughter in Age of Adeline.
Two fun facts about Ellen Burstyn that'll make you remember Ellen Burstyn versus Ellen Barkin. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ellen Burstyn's original name, the name she was born with, is Edna Ray Galuli, first of all. Mm-hmm. And Ellen Burstyn's last tweet was on March 24th, and it said, "Isolation in the mountains, keeping calm, breathing deeply, sending out love, mm-hmm. Ellen."
Oh, she's Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. That's a good movie.
She's also a tweeter.
She won the Oscar she's for Australian. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Duh, I'm a dumbass. Okay, yeah.
Edna Ray Galuli. Okay, now we need to move on. And
Ellen
Burstyn
is not Australian. She was born in Detroit.
Okay, fine.
Again, if you haven't seen Age of Adeline, this is an Age of the Adeline podcast. It's amazing. A great quarantine.
She had a
movie.
Show called The Ellen Burstyn Show. Did you know that? The first episode aired in 1986. It ran for one season.
Was it like a variety show?
No,
like
a sort of sitcom.
Oh.
Weird,
Bring
right?
it back. Bring it back.
It doesn't look like it was that good, to be honest. Okay. Can we move on?
I think that's it for the name blend. No, there was one more. Hold on. There was one more.
Oh, my God. It starred Elaine Stritch, Megan Mullally, and Timothy Biggins. Incredible show.
Hi, The Weekly. I'm just calling to let you know that I'm so stoned right now. I just got Mason Disick confused with the Mason Dixon line. Crunch, crunch.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good.
That's really good. Okay, what is the Mason-Dixon line, everyone?
The line in the South that divides the South and the North, supposedly. Yeah. And Mason Disick is the son of the Kardashian, who recently got his own Instagram and then was kicked off because he's like 10 years old. A lot of Mason Disick was the second kid of celebrity to get maybe illegal Instagram and go off on his parents. That was like Britney Spears' kid also did that recently. Shady. Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. This is one of the craziest moments I and deranged stories of my mother. So you played the Civil War song on Who's There? It's called Ashokan Farewell. And I think you played the Jay Younger Molly Mason version, but I was a competition fiddler growing up. And for a long time, I was just coming in second place. My mom decided that we would just start playing Ashokan Farewell of my competition songs because the Civil War documentary was really popular then. And I started winning first place all the time as kind of like an emotional manipulation tactic. Okay. Crunch, crunch. William Shakespeare wishes. Bye.
I started winning first place as
Your
an
mom's
emotional
a
manipulation tactic.
Genius.
That's really smart.
Your mom's a genius.
I
Incredible.
Love that.
Incredible strategy. Incredible song.
It's really good. The mom is getting so pissed that you're winning second place every time. And she's like, I've had it. You're breaking it out.
She just like turns on the TV and is like, oh.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I am calling with information you don't need about Kirstie Alley and her Halloween predicament. She is almost full-time living in Wichita, my hometown. And she has a house on a major street that is in a neighborhood that is all about Halloween. They shut down many city blocks starting in the early afternoon. It's absolutely bananas. A typical house will go through tens of thousands of pieces of candy. So I'm sure she's getting even more traffic because her house is well known. So that is just a little background. I can see why it would be mildly embarrassing for her to run out of candy in that situation.
Kirstie Alley lives in Wichita.
Kirstie Alley's Wichita, Kansas home looks haunted as hell.
Kirstie Alley lives in Wichita?
I think that's
Since
fun.
Wichita.
At least 2009, because there's an Oprah magazine story about her new home in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay, amazing. I mean, let's be real. Since we did the Kirstie Alley 25 things, literally she tweeted like, I love Trump. So like, not, you know, we're not fully jumping on board the Kirstie Alley bus to Wichita. But I thought this call was funny because it does explain why she would have this fear of running out of candy, because literally her Wichita house is centered around Halloween trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm.
These photos look like photos of... Yes, it's an old... It's an 11-year-old Oprah magazine story, so the quality is a little less great than we're used to these days.
It's no AD still, open door is what you're saying?
But still, these photos look like a paranormal investigator took them hoping to find, like, orbs.
If you don't think there are ghosts in Kirstie Alley's house, you... have never seen Look Who's Talking To. Like, there
they follow
are
her
definitely
around.
Ghosts.
Kirstie Alley could buy a house built yesterday, and the moment she moved in, it would be occupied. Like,
yeah, they yeah, the ghosts would be like, be not so fast. Yeah, no, truly.
Can't escape us. Can't escape us. Can't escape us.
I mean, I've watched all of Fat Actress. I know Kirstie Alley's home life. There are definitely ghosts in this Wichita house. This Wichita house. You can't even stop saying it.
And it's not even that they're, you know, necessarily related to Kirstie or her friends or in her circle. It's just like the ghosts, understandably, are drawn to her.
They're drawn to her.
Just ghosts. They're okay, drawn next to call.
Her. Hi, Who Weekly. I wouldn't normally do this, but let's face it, we all have lots of time on our hands. I'm calling with some unsubstantiated speculation about the Imagine video. Eddie Benjamin is Maddie Ziegler's boyfriend, and as far as I can tell, the connection might be through Sia, since Maddie Ziegler is in her chandelier video and has done many things with her. Again, don't know, but that's my best guess. Thanks for all you do. All right, bye.
We didn't quite go over each person in that video and why they were there, aside from pointing out the random boy. And the random boy is connected to Sia via Maddie Ziegler. But I was wondering why Maddie Ziegler wasn't in it, if that was the case.
Yeah, I found that strange, too. But maybe she was like, I don't want to do this.
I mean, maybe she was like, I don't want to do this, but let me ask my boyfriend who's like a singer to do it. And then I can get away with being like, oh, I don't sing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm putting moisturizer on my hands. Ugh. Oh my God, my hands have never been this correct. Okay, let's move on to questions.
Yeah.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, long time, first time. I've been seeing a lot of Alexa Chung content recently, like a lot more than usual, and she is often with Tan France. It's been a while since we've talked about Alexa Chung, so I was just wondering, how's her Who Them status coming along, and why am I seeing so much of her lately? Good form, Bella Thorne.
Alexa Chung.
She has been in like the fashion headlines a lot lately, but I think it's because
of the show.
It's because of the show. That's the answer.
Who is Alexa Chung? Alexa Chung is a model who kind of made the hop to lifestyle and became kind of like a personality model from she was probably most popular in like the aughts, early aughts or something. When was her like...
Oh, early aughts. Early aughts sounds
early
right.
Early aughts, but not 90. She's not 90. She's closer to our age. She's like...
No. Yeah.
What was her peak like thing that she did that you could point to?
It was like her column, right? It was like she worked for Vogue and she was just like a cool like
fashion
columnist.
I didn't know she had a column. So that makes sense. Yeah.
I think she was just a writer who was also like beautiful and had good style. Like
she was more of a fashion influencer before influencers were like a thing before she was really like a model.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though she was a model first technically in her career because she was a model as like a kid.
A model turned stylist, turned vlogger, turned actual like fashion columnist.
Yeah.
But I just thought the question, why have I been seeing Alexa Chung so much lately, was funny because I honestly hadn't thought about her in a while.
And
it's because of the Netflix show.
It's because of Next in Fashion, which is their Project Runway knockoff, which is not that bad. It's actually fine.
I haven't watched. I'm sort of like, ugh, do I want? Because I love Project Runway. Also,
now's the
finale.
Time.
Did you see the finale? Oh, I don't want to spoil it, but it was so good.
I think I saw it.
You think you saw it?
You know, that show, it's in one ear and out the other. It could not affect me in any way. I'm sorry. Like, even if I watched it, it could not affect me.
Remember when she dated Alexander Skarsgård?
Yes, and now she's dating a guy named Orson Frye, who Daily Mail calls her Toy Boy Bo because he's 23 and she's 36.
Oh, my God. He's nepotism. He's an heir.
No, he's not.
Lindsay, he's an heir.
He's an heir to a chocolate empire.
He's an heir to a... chocolate empire.
Empire. Who is this guy? Wait. His father is thrice married, Cosmo Frye, 60, a descendant of the Frye's chocolate dynasty. He went to Bard. He went to Bard. I wonder if Josh
He went
knows
to
him.
Bard.
Yeah, he juggles.
My.
Wait, he graduated 2 years ago from Bard. He's 23. Josh does not know him.
Wait, who is...
He juggles and works as a waiter. I bet he does. His mother sadly died in January. She was the daughter of a gambling tycoon and animal park owner, John Aspinall. And if you Google her, she was married to Daryl Hall, as in Hall and Oates.
Hall and Oates? God.
She grew up in Kent with her father, the late gambling tycoon who pioneered British casinos and created the Aspinall Zoos at Port Lympne and Howell's Wild Animal Park. She would marry Daryl Hall in 2009, and the couple lived in London before moving to Connecticut. While there, she contracted chronic Lyme disease. Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, that's so sad. Ugh. Oh, my God. Fry's Turkish Delight.
Wait, so is Alexa Chung dating the most interesting boy alive?
1761, they were founded. Wow. Then they merged with Cadbury in 1919.
Can I just say another thing? He has a band, and they're called, are you ready for this name of this band?
Mm-hmm.
They're called Soundtown.
Are you kidding?
Soundtown.
Okay, well, I'm glad I clicked play on that call. Now we know about Orson Fry, the chocolate heir who's dating Alexa Chung, who is 13 years his senior.
Oh my God, Orson Fry's like the most interesting boy alive. I can't even deal with that. Okay.
And now for the opposite of most interesting boy alive.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. Okay, you mentioned him briefly in Tuesday's episode. And I just have been seeing his name pop up everywhere, and I truly don't get it. Who is Tommy Dorfman? He is like the new It Twink. I swear, every day I open Instagram, he's just like in briefs asking me to donate to some charity, which like I guess is a good thing. And it's good that he's using his power for like, you know, trying to support good causes. But also like maybe this is not the time for like thirsty Instagram Live. I don't really understand what his deal is, how he just came out of nowhere. So who is Tommy Dorfman? Omen? Crunch Bench.
Tommy Dorfman is famous because they were on 13 Reasons Why, still are on 13 Reasons Why. I don't think that show is ever going to end.
Is 13 Reasons Why still going?
They've definitely done more than 13 Reasons, and I don't understand how it could possibly extend beyond that, but I think it is.
I can't imagine 13 Reasons
Tommy was
Why.
Also on Jane the Virgin. They get a lot of like street cred or like industry cred because they've done some Broadway plays.
I saw them in a play.
Tommy is now, you're seeing Tommy more than ever because Tommy is self-isolating with Kaya Gerber.
Tommy's in quarantine with a poly crew of Hollywood pals.
With truly like the coolest people on Instagram, kind of, or like,
well, that's
among
what I was
going to
say about Tommy is Tommy is somebody you're hearing about because they associate, they're apparently a lot of fun. And that's how I see them.
It's like Rita.
They're the kind of person that's always around the fun people. It's like Kaya and like Margaret Qualley and like Cara Delevingne. Like they want them around. They want Tommy with them.
And so Tommy, you're seeing Tommy more than normal. Yeah. Not because Tommy is promoting something, but because they are friends with Kaya Gerber and Cara Delevingne, who are getting more self-isolation coverage than practically anyone. It's like the moment they go to a Whole Foods, every paparazzi's there like, Kaya's at the Whole Foods again, and so is Tommy.
Right. I wish this crew would stop like going out together. It seems like kind of not the point of self-isolating in a crew of your friends. You know, you kind of would want to, you know, it's, hey, we're all together because we're going to kind of like hunker down and really try and like not to go outside. I would have stayed at home because I was doing better alone. So it's not amazing when they're just kind of like walking through the street like a little parade of like of hot people. So that's my main like kind of qualm with it. But otherwise, I think it's really funny because it is like it is a gossip rags fantasy that all these hot young people are like, you know,
they're just in a house together doing each other's makeup and like making TikToks. And it's so funny. And so like here they are. Oh, they did each other's makeup. This got a lot of coverage. It was like Tommy Dorfman and Kaya Gerber do each other's makeup while in quarantine. And it's like, Oh my God. Tommy Dorfman and Kaia Gerber make a TikTok dance video while in quarantine. Yeah. Follow them on TikTok here. Tommy Dorfman, the photo about the underwear charity is really funny. It's a selfie. So Tommy went home.
You found the funniest thing is you found Kaia Gerber's book list and it's just like, yeah,
wait,
books
we'll get to that. No,
she's not reading. Okay.
Yeah. We will get to that. Okay. Tommy Dorfman, this is so funny. So I guess like Tommy Dorfman, like, isn't self-isolating with them always. Sometimes Tommy goes back home. And so there's a photo of
Tommy. The thing about Tommy Dorfman is that they have a husband. So, I'm also kind of confused about where the husband is. Not that it's, again, like, whatever. But, like, that is a little... Why, the husband should just be there, too. Like, get, you know, the more the merrier at this point. They're all just in there.
Peter Zakulin. Uh-huh. The husband is not in any of these photos. We're not talking about the husband because the husband is not in any of the photos. I mean, honestly, why wouldn't you turn down the opportunity to self-isolate with Kaia Gerber and Cara Delevingne? It sounds fun. Anyway, Tommy posts this photo that is truly killing me. It's Tommy pulling up their shirt, showing off their abs in underwear, and it says, "Dear Diary." I mean, it's the thirstiest photo in the world. Thirstiest photo imaginable. "Dear Diary, today I woke up in my own bed, put on half an outfit, and made breakfast. I read Lena Dunham's first chapter of Verified Strangers for Vogue magazine. Tried to get my dog to eat. She's had a stomach virus." I'm sorry.
I'm currently
redrafting a screenplay. On my fourth cup
if
of somebody, coffee,
relatable. If somebody's dog had a stomach virus in my quarantine crew, I'd be like, get out of here. Dog's like diarrhea all over the house. Okay, sorry.
Last thing I need is a dog with a stomach virus.
Last thing I need is that. Yeah, okay.
"I'm filled with gratitude today for having a home, a bed, and a chosen family to quarantine with. Truly, great chosen family. Yeah. This is not the case for everybody during these dark times, and I urge you, with this salacious thirst trap, to help support those in need if you can. Spreading the word is enough. I'm currently putting my efforts into, you know, Ali Forney Center and Hope Through Soap, two organizations helping homelessness during this time in New York City and Atlanta." Fully, like, bulge out, abs forward, shirt up, and it's like, okay, liked by Jeremy O'Harris, because Tommy was in a Jeremy O'Harris play. They're friends. Anyway, that's Tommy Dorfman is just cool. Let's move on to Kaia Gerber because Kaia Gerber posted the funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole life, which I say every episode, but it's the funniest thing I've seen this week.
This is funny. Also, I'm sorry, this text, the way that she posted this, I can't even explain it to you. It's giving me a headache looking at it. It's orange text on a bright green background.
It's bright orange copy on a pale green background. Sure. Like, it's like sherbet. It's like two sherbets. It's two sherbets.
And
it's orange sherbet and lime sherbet.
Books that she's read to
she's
pass
read,
the time.
She's
How says, long has I'm, she been in fucking, quarantine? A week?
She's a troll. She's Tops? A troll. So it says, "Also sharing some of the books I've read to help pass the time." So this is only some of the books she has read during quarantine, which has been 2 weeks.
Okay, what? So like quarantine, they're in LA, so they're like a little bit behind New York. So Tops, 2 weeks that they've been hanging out in
Tops.
This house. Tops. But probably 2 weeks. Probably less than
Tops.
2 weeks.
Tops, and we have seen the photos. She spends most of her time in Whole Foods. So it's like, I know you are not reading
these
books.
Is A Little Life, which is at least 1,000 pages.
Like, if she said, I read A Little Life during quarantine, I would roll my eyes and say, girl, no, you haven't. But she not only said she read A Little Life, she said she read A Little Life plus 17 other books since starting quarantine. And those books include
Symposium
by
Plato?
Symposium. Bright Lights, Big City. Okay, that's also long.
In Cold Blood?
You.
That's long, too.
She said she read On the Road as well. On Earth or Briefly Gorgeous. I'm telling you, 18 books.
Wait, but not to be rude, but this is definitely a list of books that's just like when you Google like good books or like book, important books.
Yeah,
like
so
books.
I'm not even trying to be rude here. Like, I don't for a second believe she read these. I'm not even calling her illiterate. This really looks like a troll to me. This looks like she and Cara Delevingne and Tommy were
or, like,
on the couch.
What are books that people would say that they read?
Stoned as hell. Laughing. Maybe stoned. I'm not sure if they smoke weed. But like, this is like a giggly high thing to do. Like, let's write the books that I obviously didn't read on my thing.
I think some of the people in this house are sober, so I'm not sure how much weed smoking is going on, but
right, that's what I'm saying.
This feels like a funny list of books that people claim that they read.
Yeah. Kaia, you can't go to Whole Foods 8 times a day, come back,
and
make 3,000 TikToks with Tommy Dorfman,
and then read Normal People, and then read On the Road. Okay, I can't even look at this list anymore because it hurts my eyes.
It's so funny. The photo of them doing the TikTok together and then Kara's just on the couch, like, making out with the dog that I think has a stomach virus. Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
in the
good
family.
Stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
You guys, this is a headline from Page Six. Amal Clooney's sister, Tala, defends $33 masks. Quote, I just want to help. She's wearing a cheetah print mask in the photo and smiling. And it says that she's making luxury face masks called La Mask. For $33 a pop. Quote, when I heard there were no masks and no toilet paper, I thought, I can't make toilet paper, but I can make masks. I was just trying to do what I could. And then it says, well, the masks, which come in leopard print and camouflage, are not medically certified against viruses. She insists that they fit snug. It protects as much as possible, but they are not medically certified. This is better than nothing for $33. She says the profits from the sales go to the Singapore Red Cross and the rest goes to the manufacturers. I don't want to make anything from this. I want to help. I'd like your comment on this, guys. Crunch, crunch.
Thank you for calling in and reading the entire Page Six story, because it really is so funny. It's so funny.
I almost kind of feel bad for her, because you can tell this really is the best of her ability. Do you know what I mean? She's not... Mm-hmm. Like, this is the best that she can do. You know, it's true. She can't make toilet paper, although...
I want to read that quote again. George Clooney's sister-in-law. Oh, we're talking about Tala Alamuddin, by the way, Amal Clooney's sister, who is responsible for Live and La Vida laptop.
I forgot that.
Live and La Vida laptop is a Tala Alamuddin original.
Okay,
I'm going to quote this again, because it is honestly, I'm just so thrilled to be laughing this hard at something right now. George Clooney's sister-in-law, who was selling $33 face covers called La Mask, tells Page Six, quote, when I heard there were no masks and no toilet paper, I thought, I can't make toilet paper, but I can make masks.
I kind of like get...
I mean, if you can make a mask, you can make toilet paper. It's easier to make...
The main issue is that they won't be available from 8 to 12. First of all, they're not they're not medically approved masks.
No, I think no.
But I also think that that's not the worst part about this, because there are people who are just using face coverings that just to go out and like go to the supermarket. You know, like there are.
Yeah, but they won't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. These are not for hospitals, and I don't think she claims that they're for hospitals.
I read a thing on No Offense USA Today that said like these sorts of homemade masks truly don't do anything if you're trying to prevent getting sick, but if you are sick, they do more than nothing, because if you're coughing, they stop
yes.
as much stuff coming out of you. But like, you don't buy Tala Alamuddin's masks to like prevent coronavirus.
Okay, but if you're going to the supermarket and you want to wear a face covering so you don't touch your nose and mouth, I don't think that that's a bad thing. And I see people wearing masks that are clearly not medically, they're non-medical masks. And honestly, get those medical masks to doctors and wear like a fabric mask over your face just to prevent yourself from touching your face. That I understand. I don't think that that's like the worst thing in the world, actually.
And also, she's not making money off of this. She is giving all the money to charity. So it is.
But 8 to 12 weeks, like, honey, like, this is the real thing all over again. I need you to speed up production if you're doing something like this for charity. Like, I need this tomorrow.
Can I play this really quickly? Did you see Patrick? Patrick sent me this. I think he tweeted it too. But
send it to me.
He was watching the nanny, and Fran said this, and he was like, "I can't stop laughing."
Oh, honey.
You gotta make the song, but you replace all the oh honeys with okay, honey. Don't do that. Okay.
Oh, honey. I'll do anything for you. Oh, honey. Just tell me what you want me to. Oh, honey. Kiss me up against the wall. Oh, honey. Don't take anything, just have it all. Yeah, I can't take it.
Amal Clooney's sister Tala defends $33 masks. I just want to help. I love... It is very sweet. There is like... It's coming from such a good place. But because this person is like so out of touch, it just... It manifests as something completely deranged, you know? Like, we're in the age of very privileged, dumb people wanting to do their part, and that just comes across as, like, really, really weird.
Yeah.
Okay, next call.
Priyanka Chopra clapping alone on her balcony. Crunch, crunch.
Let's play the video. Here we go.
Okay. So dark.
I saw this on Popcrave, and Popcrave tweeted, Priyanka Chopra shows her appreciation for first responders by clapping from a balcony during coronavirus lockdown. And they shared her Instagram story, which was her clapping alone on her balcony. And it says, people around the world have shown their appreciation for the doctors and nurses and all first responders battling COVID-19 by clapping on their balconies. Although I couldn't be there in India today to join, I am there in spirit. And then it's just this.
Yeah, okay. Once again,
what is the BPM here? Like, can we use this as a metronome?
First of all, the sentiment is there. I gotta say, just like with Tala, I gotta say the sentiment is there. The sentiment's on point. Amazing. Shout out those people. But a dark video of Priyanka Chopra looking out a window with nothing. We can't see what she's looking at.
Not even out a window. She's just on the balcony. She's looking at nothing.
Clapping into the air. Clapping. That is the darkest Blumhouse scary movie that I've ever seen.
No, it's Parasite. It's like Bong Joon-ho presents Priyanka. Like, it's
clapping. Clap.
It is her unintentionally... like starting a class war. Like, you know, she's literally in her ivory tower
clapping
at her large expanse of property, clapping for these people who are so far away doing all the work, which is like cool, very nice. But like, this is one of those things, like you were saying last week, we don't need this. Just write the check, you know? Write the check.
And
honestly,
write the check.
Tell us you wrote the check. Typically, I would ask for maybe a little more, I don't know.
No, tell me.
Shame?
Tell me you write the check.
Write the check. Show me a picture of the check. Tell everyone that you wrote the check. Otherwise, don't make content, you know? Don't do it.
Yeah.
Write the check. Tell me the number. If she wrote the number and wrote, and I saw the check and it was like $1.5 million or just like $620,000.
She could clap for hours. That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen, I don't know. Maybe she has donated. Maybe we're missing this. Then I don't care about her clapping. But the clapping is dark. The clapping.
Don't share content unless you also share the check.
think about like Nick Jonas, her being like, Nick, can you film me clapping on the balcony? Come over here. And like, he's like filming her clapping silently out the Okay, I can't. Clapping is now dark.
Clapping is so weird when you're alone. Always. Always. Like, Lady Gaga doesn't live for a single clap. She lives for the applause. And it's not applause unless there's multiple people.
Okay. All right.
I live for Chopra's clap. The clap. The clap. I live for Chopra's clap. Clap. Live for Chopra's clap. Clap. It's like, no.
Wait, who is she clapping for again?
No, she's showing her appreciation for doctors, nurses, and all first responders.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby, long time. I just called and hung up because I got really awkward because I'm high and I'm walking my dog and a couple walked by and they weren't 6 feet away, so I had to move. Okay, whatever. But Morgan Stewart and Dr. Phil's son are dating, and apparently they dated 10 years ago and broke up and now they're together again. And as I'm saying this, I feel like I might have already called about this drunk or something. Okay. French French. Same side. Bye.
It's not, I think that this is like a perfect couple. I think this is not gross at all. These
yeah,
two
perfect.
Are the, these are the property brother Zooey Deschanel of their world.
Yeah.
Like, come on. The son of Dr. Phil is dating a girl who was on Rich Kids of Beverly Hills and now
yeah.
hosts a pop show on E. Get married already, you know?
Her dad is, I always confuse her with the, you know, Rod Stewart
no,
daughter.
No, that's a different Stewart.
Her Stewart is like an architect, like a really rich, like West Coast Beverly Hills architect land person. So she's like real estate money. He's obviously like...
Bobby, we did a whole segment on her because when she broke up with her husband, it was like that big drama member. And then we talked about Daily Pop.
Yeah.
Like
was,
we did a whole thing on her.
When I was posting all that on there, I was like, why does this seem familiar?
No, we did a whole segment on this woman.
So they are dating now. And so this is mostly notable because we've talked about her and her terrible breakup with another E star, Brandon Fitzpatrick. Brandon Fitzpatrick, they were together for a long time. But anyway, so she posted this Instagram video of her in self-isolation, and in the background is none other than Jordan McGraw, because they dated 10 years ago and then broke up, and now they're back together, and they're self-quarantining together.
Her quote about them dating 10 years ago was so strange. Like, I'm sure it's, like, kind of maybe off the cuff. It says...
It's off the cuff. She said it during the Instagram Live. That's why it's kind of weird.
We dated 10 years ago for a year, and then he broke up because he was like, I'm not down with you, bitch, and she said. And then I was like, fine, whatever. I'm over you. I don't care. And then I went on to obviously have another relationship. Well, she got married. Yeah.
It says, the past year we got back together. Isn't that cute? He was persistent. And I was like, all right. All right. Me when I go back into Jordan McGraw's house, his like Tim Burton house. All right.
Yeah.
Whenever she's showing him off, sort of like, I don't know, giving him his coming out party to her Instagram followers, you can tell that no one or a very small percentage of people understand that that is Jordan McGraw, a.k.a. Phil McGraw's son, because they're just like, he's hot.
Right.
I love
no
him.
One knows
y'all are so cute.
He is. Right. Her ex-husband was maybe dating somebody from Bachelor in Paradise. That's pretty funny.
Was maybe dating Amanda Stanton. Well, they went on one date.
They went on one date, and
then Amanda Stanton was like, we're not dating. We just went on one good date, but we're not dating.
Got it.
All of these reality people, like, the reality circle is really disgusting. It's like, why not?
Great. Why not? Well, you want to go out with people who can relate to your plight.
Who are on your level, yeah. They're on your level.
Yeah.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I hope you're both doing well during this time. I want to know who the whos and thems of Animal Crossing are.
We're going to talk about this, but on the Patreon, because I feel like we're going to spend like half an hour on Animal Crossing exclusively. So we're just going to move it to Patreon. Just wanted to tease that for you. Next call.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I caught the episode while driving for Postmates just now to kind of call you guys and brainstorm a little bit about your EGOT for reality show multiple time winners, like Niall. I'm not sure if this is a great kind of final product, but the framework I have is an ODIC. That would be an original, if they have been on an original series, their own, to be the first one. D would be dancing, I, an international version of a show, and then a C would be a charitable win. Anyway, I think Niall's off to a good start, and hopefully there are some others, but also maybe you guys have some better contributions than just my ODIC. Anyway, COVID crunch, love you guys.
So the first one was original show. Then a dancing, so they're on a dancing show. Then they're on an international version of a show. And then see a charitable win.
Yeah, but the original would be like you have your own reality star. You have your own reality show. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think it's a great framework, and I'm trying to think if it even needs a change. I'm not sure that does. Maybe it needs... I think dancing is tough. I think maybe dancing could be something that was more broad. I think dancing should be like performing. Where it's like singing, like a carpool.
Dancing also means like ice skating, like though that show too, and like any type of like celebrity performance. If it was like Ninja Warrior, that's I would say that counts.
That's why I think it should be a P instead of a D. Maybe OPIC, because then it's performance, you know?
Yeah.
Because then it could be mass singer. It could be dancing. It could be ice skating. It could be, like you said, Celebrity Ninja Warrior.
Right.
OPIC maybe.
OPIC. I actually like this better than the one I was thinking of because it's more broad. I was just thinking of specific shows that they would be on. So I was thinking like Dancing with the Stars, Big Brother, Masked Singer as like kind of my list. But I do like the broadness. Yeah.
OPIC I like. Original, a performance reality show, an international version of a reality show, and a charitable win. I think charitable win is a little weird.
Well, I don't quite get what's a charitable... win.
I think charitable win is confusing. What could we do for another C? That's like it would have to be a consonant. If it's okay, OPI. So
what are we missing in terms of doing? Like a who? What if the C was like S, like spin-off? Like you spun off from an original series. Like you're like you got your, you know.
So you get a spin-off show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the O. So it'd be the O. It'd be OSIP. That's not really
OSPI. The OSPI, because you get your original show, your spinoff show, a performance show, and an international show.
This is so bad.
You have to be on the original reality show, the first one. Then you have to be on the spinoff reality show, which is your own.
Right.
Then you have to appear on a performance reality show.
Yes.
Then you have to appear on an international version
that's
of reality
OSPI.
Show.
Then you win the OSPI.
Like, who are the people who have, like, Spencer Pratt has this, right?
Totally, yes.
Caitlyn Jenner has this.
Yes. Who else? I mean, there's so many people have this. This is a good test of, because the international thing is what takes you above and beyond, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a tough one. Because you got to go on, you know, go to Big Brother Celebrity in the UK. You could go any of those shows, you know.
New York has this, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Tiffany Pollard.
She was
Tiffany
on Pollard Big Celebrity Big Brother UK.
This.
That's when
yeah,
she
I
was like,
this
David,
good.
David.
These
you
are
know?
Good parameters.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she also had OSPI. I Love New York.
The OSPI, baby.
The OSPI. Okay, thank you, caller. That was a great framework.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't completely fuck up your idea, but I think that's good.
Okay.
OSPI, we did it. Well, we figured it out.
You know, I've tried lots of things to get me to go to sleep in the past, you know, few years. Just a little bit of a push. You've got your melatonin, you got your various things. But I've found that of all the things, a little bit of CBD, a little bit of CB distillery, that's getting me
goes a long
way. Getting me conked right out and sleeping through the night.
I take my I'm always CBD aware. I'm always
I took it last
CBD
night.
Aware.
And did you know that there's a sale? CBDistillery.com is giving you an exclusive offer. Get up to 30% off your order. So if you've struggled with stress, sleep, or pain after physical activity, CBDistillery.com has a targeted plant-powered solution just for you. We love hearing how many of you have seen improvements in your daily life thanks to CBD.
CBD for me is very synonymous with sleep. It's like 30 minutes before I want to go to sleep, I pop a gummy, I feel like I sleep better.
And if better sleep, more calm and relief from discomfort after physical activity sounds good to you, then you should explore CBD. Don't miss the massive sale and get up to 30% off your order. Visit cbdistillery.com and enter VIP. That's cbdistillery.com and enter VIP at cbdistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Anne. I'm sitting here watching The Other Guys with my husband because we're quarantined, obviously. And I just said, who's that guy? And he said, that's Rob Riggle. He's a them. But I definitely disagree because I think he's a who. So just wondering, who are them? Okay, thanks. Me and Grace. Bye.
Rob Riggle, who are them? One, two, three,
who?
Comedian, like, who? Comedian, who?
I feel like that, far, is it me or we get it? When we get who's or them's, we get a lot of the same people. And I always see them and I'm like, we've done that. But I know that's what's killing me. But I just feel like it's mm-hmm. people are, it's funny mm-hmm. how people recommend ask the same people. Over
the
and
same
over
questions. Because yeah, it's people yeah. who are on the line or people that they recognize. But it's like, I think that's yeah. the frustration, right? Because it's like, right. I know that. I wouldn't call if I weren't sort of actually confused about this guy because Rob Riggle is everywhere. Rob Riggle's been everywhere for like 15 years.
Right, but he's still kind of a who character actor guy.
He's still kind of a who. He's like, he's one of those guys, but he's never been in the top tier of those guys.
Is he married to Samantha Bee?
Isn't that, is that him?
Is that not him? Is that not him? It might have been, hold on.
No, no, that's not him. He's married to Tiffany Riggle and they've been married for 20 years.
Samantha Bee's married to Jason Jones. Again, a who. A
there
total.
There we go. A who. Total who.
Both, they both were on Daily Show, I think.
Yeah.
Is Sissy Spacek still one of them? Crunch, crunch.
One. So this is assuming that she was a them to begin with. She was, obviously. So is she still a them? One, two, three, them.
That.
I think she's very prestige-y. When she is still, when she is in a movie or a show to this day, I guess she hasn't been anything since Homecoming. But it's like a it's like look who's in this
and
like
and Sissy Spacek
and like when she was in Bloodline, it was sort of like what is this fucking new Netflix show about the boat yeah. and the people they did the bad thing and then
with
it's like
Sissy Spacek
with Sissy Spacek and what's his name Sam Elliott wasn't it yeah. Sam Elliott? It's like yeah. look at this prestige-y anchor.
Okay.
To
okay.
a show.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
Okay. No, I can't really disagree, no. Also, she has a very memorable name, so that also makes me yeah. keep her high in my mind. I think definitely a younger gen is not going to know who Sissy Spacek is, but she can go in the, like, who prestige group. Sure, sure, yeah. sure.
Oh, okay. Sam Shepard. Sorry, not Sam Elliott.
But, oh, same. Okay. Come on. Same oh, the guy.
He died. Sad. Okay.
Hi, Who Weekly. So... I saw like an Instagram message from my best friend. She sends me this post from this woman named Brooklyn Decker. And she's like, oh my God, this is so funny. Do you follow her? And I was like, I have no idea who that is. Why would I follow that person? She's like, really? She's married to Andy Roddick. Like as though I should know who that is. So I'm calling, I'm sure you've talked about them before, but my friend seems to think these people are them. Obviously, they are personal who's to me because I have no idea who they are. But I'm asking just like a simple who them question. Brooklyn Decker and Andy Roddick. Thanks. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Okay.
Let's do both.
Brooklyn Decker. Really one, two, three. Who?
Who? Right. Yes, absolutely.
And Andy Roddick. One, two, three. Them.
Who? Yeah, really?
He's a tennis legend. I mean, okay. he's up there with Serena and Venus, I think, if you're talking.
Okay.
If you were to name tennis people, who would you name?
I guess that's fair. Andy Roddick is tennis. I would name the Williamses.
And you would name, what's his face?
I would name
Billie
John
Jean
McEnroe.
King. McEnroe. Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King, legend.
Andy Roddick,
yeah, sure. Roger Federer is who I'm thinking of.
Federer. I would Roger say that Federer is before Andy Roddick in terms Roddick. Of like
okay
the
sure
tennis.
He's a them. Brooklyn Decker
also,
though
we would obviously name Sharapova.
Oh yeah, Sugarpova, excuse me, Sugarpova. Yeah.
But I gotta say, I forgot a lot of these. I'm forgetting. So it's kind of like if they broke out of tennis in a way.
Brooklyn Decker is a who though, and will never not be a who.
Yeah, totally.
Hi, is Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a who or a them? I asked because Naomi Campbell visited his grave and posted it on Instagram saying Shabbat Shalom. So, Shabbat Shalom, crunch, crunch.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, it's Friday. It's Friday, right? Don't you say it on Friday? Shabbat Shalom. Oh
my God. I didn't know anything about this Rebbe, but this Rebbe, however you want to say, but he is like the most famous Lubavitch rabbi. He's dead too. Obviously, she visited his grave. Why is Naomi? What's going on there?
She's mentioned him more than once, so I don't know. She embraced the Kabbalah movement in 2010, sure. So I guess she's still on that train.
In 2019, she praised him on the 25th anniversary of his death.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still just Kabbalahing. She's just Kabbalahing still.
So I guess she was like happened to pass his grave recently and was like, "Oh, Shabbat Shalom." So I don't know. I mean, if I happened to pass Rabbi Menashe Mendel Schneerson's grave, I would probably go, "Oh, Shabbat Shalom," and then take a photo.
Right, that's polite.
Right? Is that disrespectful? No. That's nice, right?
I don't think you would take a photo though.
I wouldn't take a photo.
I would take a photo
and send it to you. I would send it to you.
You'd be like,
I wouldn't put it on Instagram.
You'd be like, "Woo, who's this guy?" You know
Lindsay,
him?
Who is this?
He your friend? Who's this guy?
Lindsay, who is this?
Okay, so is he a who or
Let's do this.
I'm not doing this.
1, 2, 3, who?
Who?
He's a who.
Okay.
No, that's a niche.
Okay, a niche. He's a niche who. He's maybe a Kabbalah them, but like, let's not even get into it because we already did get into it in another episode and it wasn't that fun.
Who is the themiest rabbi? Is there like a really iconic rabbi, like a famous, what's his name?
I feel like there's someone I'm not thinking of. I just Googled most famous rabbi. No, it's like Shmuley Boteach. It's like that rabbi. I don't want to talk about the most famous rabbis.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, big problem. Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening to Who's There. Call 619 Who Them if you have any questions, comments, concerns. Please stay safe in the middle of your self-quarantine, self-isolation. We hope you're doing well. Thank you for listening to us. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly if you want weekly bonus episodes. We do bonus episodes on Fridays or Saturdays, and then we do bonus episodes for This Is Not a Westworld podcast on Monday that sometimes turn into episodes about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Honestly, they could be about anything. See you on Tuesday with a new episode. Bye.
Bye.
Is the Six Flags dancing old man dead? And was he ever real in the first place? Did he just dissolve into the ether? Who was he if he was real? And rest in peace if he was real. Okay, crunch, crunch.